Welcome to the Farm to Table Talk podcast, where we talk about our food system from what we eat to how it's grown. I'm your host, Roger Wasson. Well, after years and years, it seems like, of debate about GMO labeling, it finally may be coming to an end. Congress took action to preempt the Vermont law that would have required, in Vermont at least, to have GMO labeling. Fearing that that would be a huge mess, it needed to be addressed. There was finally compromises made in the Senate and the House to bring people together on legislation that will require labeling and genetic engineering would be addressed. Now, it's not exactly what anybody wanted. It seems like all sides are saying, as is usually said in a political process, that this isn't exactly what they had in mind. But it passed, and now it's going to go to the president for a signature. What it means is that it will be required to be addressed on labels. Now, there's several different options. Somebody could actually put, if something contained was genetically engineered, they can say that. But it's not limited to that. There could be a symbol established, and USDA is going to work on that within this next couple of years. And a symbol might be able to be put on the package. Or there may be something like a QR code that would take people to a site that would have all of the information. Again, it's not exactly what anybody wanted, but it does preempt the state laws. It does require more information to be available to consumers. Now, what that looks like is confusing to many people. They understand if it just says genetically engineered. They think they know what that means. But what about going to a site or going to additional information or electronic information? How is that going to work out? Well, one organization that was in the middle of all of this is called Label Insight. And they have been doing a lot of research on this, and they've worked with people on smart labels that would help that come about. So we've gone to the chief marketing officer for Label Insight, and we talk about the implications of this new law when it comes into effect, and all the different ways that consumers will have the information that they want to have, including whether or not a product has been genetically engineered. And I think that you'll find in this conversation some pretty interesting points. For example, consumers want to know everything, and they want it available to them. Now, whether or not they take advantage of it, we'll see. But they do want to have a way to see everything. Now, again, my guest, Patrick Moorhead, with Label Insight, he's going to explain how that can happen and how the technology is happening so fast that it's available to most people much faster than we even realize. But I'm going to start off with asking Patrick.
We are the equivalent of an oil refinery for big data. If you think of all of the information on one packaged good product in the grocery store, put 200, 300 pieces of data on one package, and then think about 3.3 million packaged products in the U.S., each with 200 to 300 data points on the package. That is the crude oil field for our refinery. Our technology allows us to ingest that raw information from the packaging labels and distill it to its fundamental elements and then generate it into different types of fuel that power different applications across the food and retail industry.
So who would hire you to help do that? Who are clients that say I want to accomplish this? I want to be that refiner, and get that information. What are the kind of companies that would seek you out to help you solve that problem for them?
A diverse list of clients. So our primary customers are food brand manufacturers themselves, who are interested in implementing smart label, digital labels as a solution for their product portfolios. We also work with brands and retailers to help normalize the passing of product-level information between manufacturer internal systems and retailer internal systems. We work with the Food and Drug Administration and the U.S. Department of Agriculture to help them normalize and understand this massive sea of unstructured data that is the labeling of all products in the marketplace. We work with consulting companies like Accenture and KPMG to help power solutions that they're providing to brand manufacturers to help them not only deliver on consumer transparency needs, but adapt their organizations to evolve to deliver on that promise. And we work with research companies like Nielsen that are taking our data products, right, the refined products that come off of our crude oil, and matching taste profiles and ingredient information about food to customer buying behavior and customer media consumption behavior to understand that price and brand marketing promotion are not the only drivers affecting consumer purchase decisions. That, in fact, increasingly, what's in products and how they're made are having as much of an impact on product choice as marketing and price.
Well, I have to point out, you know, one of the things that has brought this issue up now is that there was a law in Vermont that was going to identify whether or not a product contained GMOs, and it said it would have to say these are genetically engineered. And then there's laws, a proposed law that in the United States right now, that the Senate that's saying they want to preempt the state laws because it's going to be a mess if every state had their own law, so that there should come up with a federal law. And in that process where the discussion is different ways that the information could be provided to give more information to consumers. Now what I'd like to kind of ask you is that, how do we know what consumers want? Are you doing research and
yes.
others doing research
yep.
to say, okay, I'm a consumer and I can buy, you know, this salad dressing or this mayonnaise or this loaf of bread. How do you go back and ground what the technology can do and what is it that consumers really want to know
yeah.
more about?
Sure. The answer to the question is consumers want more of everything.
Yeah.
Our research shows overwhelmingly, in fact, the data point that I have here is 94% of consumers say that they want more accurate, detailed information about what's in their food products, mm-hmm. period. So that's everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The 6% of people that don't want to know more about in their food, I don't understand who they are, right? But so consumers want desperately, in fact, manufacturers to give them all of the information about the products that they're selling mm-hmm. so they can make their own informed choice mm-hmm. about whether to consume that product, whether that product is healthy, et cetera, et cetera. Right? The Vermont law and the situation in the Senate with the GMO bill presents an interesting, you know, situation where
sure.
I don't know that you're going to find a lot of different opinions when you survey consumers about, you know, GMO and people's relative skill with understanding what that even means. You know,
mm-hmm.
I saw a piece of information, I couldn't cite it for you, but most people have eaten a seedless watermelon
right.
and don't necessarily connect that that's a GMO
right.
product, right? Label Insight likes the federal level legislation proposed for GMO disclosure, only from the standpoint, and we don't take a political position on whether GMO should or should not be disclosed.
Right.
We don't take a position on necessarily whether that's a state regulation or a federal regulation.
Mm-hmm.
We do take the position that consumers want more transparency about their food products
mm-hmm.
and that anything that advances the consumer desire and for transparency is a good thing. And we believe we have the best technology to enable brands to deliver on that consumer need for transparency in a relatively efficient and high-quality way. So whether that's Smart Label or whether that's a variety of other ways that can happen out of our refinery, we think that's the opportunity. And so we're supportive of the federal legislation from the point of view of promoting transparency in the industry, promoting smart label and digital labeling as a method of meeting the needs of those people that want more information without creating potentially an undue burden or excessively complex and costly packaging and repackaging efforts.
So if you go right now, if somebody listening to this podcast and they're going to go pushing a shopping cart down the aisle, the canned goods, and they're looking at both sides, I mean, what was regulated right now, or what is just common sense? It's got the name of the company, and then identifies the name of the product, like mayonnaise or mustard and so forth. And then there's regulations as far as what ingredients are identified. And
yep.
And there's a tendency that people want to know the ingredients, but then there's a tendency to wanting clean labels. And it seems to me like they shy away from products that have too long of words, that have too many consonants, not enough vowels. You know, so there's always that you reach this point of some tension. And then there's nutritional information, and the Food and Drug Administration has just changed the nutritional labels so that you would identify added sugars, not sugars that just occur naturally in the food, but there's huge differences in the product. So those things have been pretty heavily regulated right now.
Yeah.
And then to your point, consumers are saying, I want to know even more.
Yes.
I want to know what genetics were involved. And one kind of genetics might be what's been referred to as GMO, but there's a lot of other genetic programs people don't know about as well. That, you know, again, it's how do you get organized to having no end in sight? They want to know how big the pens are and so forth.
Right.
I mean, how do you envision this if we were going to flash ahead and you're, again, I'm pushing this shopping cart.
Yeah.
What would I see on... possibly on a shelf, if I pick up a product, how would I access finding all the information there is to know?
Yeah, so I think interestingly, it's going to have the on the shelf isn't going to change, or potentially could become much less. Our theory is that digital labels for products are going to become much more the main touch point for consumers understanding the qualities about the products that they're buying. And so as you're pushing your shopping cart down the aisle, your products are going to reflect labels that are very, you know, I don't see labels themselves changing very much. I see that the way people are accessing those labels changing a great deal with smartphones, right? So not just a QR code or scanning the UPC, but I think we're not very far away from actually being able to point your camera phone just at a product and Google or whatever other technology understanding that product is what it is, not because it has a code on it, but just because it has a logo or a color scheme or the shape of the bottle, and being able to then drill you into a world of information about that product that is 10 times greater than what could ever be done on the physical label itself.
Well, let's slow down here for a second then. Because the one thing is that on a label, it can actually say K-Tree, for example. So that can be on, and there's some guidance as to what you can claim if it's K-Tree.
Mm-hmm.
Another potential access point, as you mentioned, would be, say, QR code.
Yep.
So many people have seen those if they've not all used them. It looks like about the size of a postage stamp or maybe smaller. And it's this strange little design, and you can point your phone at it if you've downloaded a QR scanner.
Yep.
And it will open to a site. Another one you mentioned was the UPC code, and those are little barcodes that exist on all products. And currently, they're used to identify, you know, real, real basic information. But apparently, that can be loaded. There's going to be technologies to load that to put more stuff in there, too.
Sure.
But you're adding another category, and that is that people could just take a phone and take a picture of whatever they're thinking about and having this world open up.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think so.
And now would there be any policing of that? I mean, if you get to the point, you get either to that QR code or something, who keeps track of the fact that it's not BS, what's going in there is actually something.
I mean, so first of all, today, that's real.
Yeah, okay.
I can walk into the grocery store right now with this phone that I have on the table and take pictures of any product I want, and Google will automatically pull up any and all information that's on Google about that product. It could be Instagram posts from people using that product. It could be consumer reviews from retailer sites. It could be government information. It could be the stock price of the manufacturer. Right?
What is that app?
Google Goggles is one Google, that can, you can Goggles. Use. There's a bunch of them out there, actually, that are just kind of image recognition.
So if you go to the iTunes store and you want to download an app, what do you call it? I mean, do you have any idea?
I would search for Google Goggles or any type of visual search.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Image search tools. Yeah. There's a bunch of them out there.
Yeah.
So that exists today, and I think there's efforts being made by companies in the marketplace to refine the ability to, for example, embed watermarks and invisible UPCs or invisible codes into packaging so that to the naked eye, you wouldn't know there was a code there. But when you point a camera at it, the camera would be able to discern that there was digital information on that label.
Right.
So
right.
That all exists today.
Right.
I think what doesn't exist today and what we're keenly interested in is brands have the opportunity to take ownership to curate the information that reaches the consumer right. when they choose to digitally interact with that product. And most brands are not doing that today. They're not curating what information about their products reaches the consumer or how it reaches the consumer in what form and what shape and what quality. Does it conform to the brand messaging? Is it true?
Mm-hmm.
They're not present in that conversation, even though consumers are really asking for it. Mm-hmm. And finding it from other places. And so that's where we think that actually this idea of there being an ROI for transparency for brands exists.
So what's referred to as the smart label, now it has some more specific guidelines where it's not really the, as I understand it, as it's being talked about, it's not kind of the Wild West. There's to be in the smart label, there's going to be a certain parameters, is that right?
Well, Smart Label is an industry, third-party industry initiative led by the Grocery Marketers Association.
Uh-huh.
They took it on themselves to define a digital labeling standard, which really means that the interface of the way that label information is presented on a phone is standard no matter what brand is providing it. So when you adopt Smart Label, you essentially normalize the way that consumers will ingest the product information about mm-hmm. your product.
Right.
That and it's just a user interface and some guidelines about, hey, when the, you know, ingredients need to be set up this way and these things need to be included. And it matches the regulated labeling constraints provided by the FDA for physical labels,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That is Smart Label, and it's out there. It's not enforced as like a mandatory. It is an option that is available to brands to capitalize on and to consumers to access for brands that provide it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea there, I think, is that's really interesting is here is a way that this third-party initiative that's been introduced is going to get traction in the marketplace with consumers who, once they find out, they can get a standardized view of trustworthy information in a third-party format about products that they're interested in, they will come to expect that information about all products.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is they will turn to manufacturers who have not implemented digital smart labels for their products, and they will say, why haven't they done that?
Mm-hmm.
What are they hiding? Mm-hmm. Why can't I know that about that product? And our research in the Food Revolution study indicates that that there's a huge risk for brands, right? When a consumer is aware of a smart label, digital labeling, and they go to your product and expect to find that and don't, they are very inclined to go and switch to buying a brand that provides that information to them. 40% of consumers we talked to said they would do that.
I mean, you still have to deal with the trustworthiness.
Yes.
I mean, every brand, big companies seem to be fighting uphill battles anymore on that trustworthiness. And now on other issues, for example, you couldn't sell glazed donuts and put on the label cures cancer. And you know, an extreme example.
Yep.
But when you get into this other this other world. Won't there be suspicion that there may be too much latitude and people?
Well, that's the point of Smart Label. Okay. That Smart Label is kind of has the same regulations attached to it that physical labeling guidelines and claim certification does from the FDA.
So you could even tell more information, I suppose. So let's say, for example, if the regulation in Vermont, go back to that one, is supposed to say genetically engineered. Could there be, you know, in the future, some company could say, I want to be specific about the genetics used and its CRISPR technology or this other technology and go even further?
And that's what our position at Label Insight would be, that we would encourage brands to do that. And so that's why, you know, regardless of, we don't have a political stance on GMO, but we think it creates an opportunity for brands to get involved with Smart Label. Mm-hmm. To proactively meet the challenge of GMO so that their voice can be present in the conversation and take advantage of that opportunity to say, hey, we actually can see GMO disclosure about our products when we can own the way that disclosure happens as an opportunity to create trust with the consumer. When we are able to tell them, here's what we think about GMO, and here is our practices, right? Then you remove the opportunity for there to be misunderstandings and assumptions and third-party voices in that conversation. In fact, consumers expect that brand manufacturers are going to be the best source of truth about their own products and are disappointed that they're not. And so the GMO labeling is just another example of a place where brands can take advantage of digital labeling to put their own story out in the marketplace in a true, authentic way. And by the way, consumers are asking for them to do that today.
Well, one question I have, and kind of moving towards kind of a wrap-up, but this is a fascinating issue, but I just want to ask you, what about all the people that we hear about that don't have smartphones? I mean, that's been one of the big concerns, is that you know, that there are poor people that not everybody has a smartphone or knows how to read a QR code or something else. I mean, how do we address that portion that may not be using smartphones yet?
I would say that is just an infuriating thing for me to hear a politician say in the marketplace, because it's fundamentally incorrect. You can just look at Mary Meeker's digital report. Look at any report in the last 5 years about market penetration of smart devices in America or globally, and there is no one. There is, for every one person that's walking around without a smartphone, there's 250 people that are walking around with a smartphone. And that, to me, seems like a red herring. It seems like a really bad choice to make, to say, like, well, there's five people that won't be able to get this information if you put it this format. So let's not give it to the other 500 people that can get it and want it very badly.
Yeah. Well, Patrick, this has been an exciting conversation. I can tell you're excited about what you're doing. Anything else, if you're looking at all of this future we've been discussing, what gets you most charged up that makes you want to get out of bed in the morning and kind of looking down the road and saying, I'm really excited about being part of this? I mean, what do you see that causes that glint in your eye?
Well, what I see is that every single living human being has a horse in this race about what is in the food that I'm putting in my mouth. And there is an overwhelming and now documented on our part from research desire for consumers to have better, clear, trustworthy information about their food products. And they're at war to trying to get this information. So for me to be at Label Insight and be part of a team that is building an engine to solve a real consumer need and a critical consumer need that impacts people's health at the allergy and heart health and there's all kinds of implications for this thing. That is a life-changing, a world-changing endeavor to be on. And it's fundamentally different than, I think, Silicon Valley startup technologies that are interested in kind of creating gimmicky trickery to sell advertising and sell their stock price. Will those things happen for our startup here at Label Insight? Maybe. Hopefully. We think that there's a giant potential. But we are a purpose-driven company, and the purpose is to create better transparency relationships and trust relationships between people and the food they eat. And that's an exciting mission.
Well, it's exciting. I think what you're talking about is going to be good for consumers and good for farmers, good for retailers, good for marketers. I know that your company primarily is in the B2B space, business to business, rather than general consumers. Yeah. But is there a site that people that just want to know more about this that they could either see the research or see what this, where
so
would they go?
So you can see a lot of our research and data on our website. It's labelinsight.com. And then if you're interested in Smart Label, visit smartlabel.org, which is the actual website that's provided to house all of the live Smart Label pages that are out today. It's powered by the GMA, the Grocery Marketers Association. Mm-hmm. They just released, actually today, I think there are 1,500 products available as Smart Label pages on that site. 85% of those pages are developed and powered by Label Insight. And we've just released that information today. So that will give you a taste of what does the digital label look like and what is the opportunity as 1,500 products become 1.5 million in the next 18 to 24 months. That'll give you a glimpse of the future, and then the other stats and data I referenced are on our website at Label Insight.
Well, again, I tell you what, I'm a big fan of farm-to-table talk about farm-to-table stories, and you've got a great story, and it's a great future. So, Patrick Moorhead, I want to thank you for being on Farm-to-Table Talk.
Appreciate it, Roger. Thanks.
Thanks for joining the Farm-to-Table Talk podcast. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe to listen regularly on SoundCloud or iTunes to Farm to Table Talk.